Lord Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department Chief Chris Ellis into the studio. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Lori.
Great to have you with us, as is customary, the third Thursday of each month when your schedule allows. You like to give us the call stats for the previous month, and we'll talk about training and anything else you want to.
So we've been... It's been busy, like normal. We had two structure fires. Neither one of them was anything significant. One was a cooking fire, and one was a minor porch fire.
Okay.
We had a vehicle fire, a couple of brush fires. We had... 21 times we went to assist the ambulance for some reason, whether those were cardiac arrests or they called us to help move a patient, something like that. We had MVAs.
What is that?
Motor vehicle accidents, oh, car
okay.
accidents.
Okay. I gotta get with the lingo. MVA, motor vehicle accidents. Okay.
Had a gas leak. Child was locked in a vehicle.
Uh-oh.
But that was a quick fix. Had a carbon monoxide incident. A couple of electrical. We had an overheated motor someplace or of some sort, and then we had a power line down. Had a couple of people saw wires arcing or a transformer arcing on a, you know, when trees blow in the wind, something like that, and they rub against the wires. Sometimes they arc and people call. We landed the helicopter 9 times.
One was right across the street from my coworker Mark's house in Fairhope Falls recently. Were you all involved in that?
That's actually Silver Hills area.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Okay.
And then just a couple of different items. We assisted people that had fallen without an ambulance 8 times. Last month we had three calls for unauthorized burning. And then we were dispatched for a call and canceled 13 times. We were dispatched for a call and arrived and didn't find anything 4 times. And then we had a total of about 21 calls for different fire alarm type incidences, for a grand total of 111 for last month.
We're a little above that average. Yeah.
That actually slowed down a little bit over the past couple of months. We were in the 130 to 140 call range.
Goodness.
So it actually slowed down a little bit, but it's still above the 100 calls a month.
And you can anticipate that's going to continue with all of this growth.
With everything growing up, it is going to continue.
How do you determine where you respond and where you don't? Is it the city limits and then the 1.5-mile jurisdiction
outside? We actually have a fire jurisdiction.
Right.
That we actually cover 44 square miles. It doesn't align with we cover the city limits, and then there's an area outside of the city limits. We go to... on 181, we go up to St. Michael's Drive. It used to be Higby Road.
Mm-hmm.
So we go up there. We cover that fire north. Out on 104, we cover to Langford Road. And then on the south side, we cover to the little trailer park just east of 32 and 181. And then we go to Grass Road on Scenic 98. And then
So the surrounding fire departments respond to the other areas.
The surrounding fire departments also respond. Yeah, pick up where we stop.
But you assist each other quite often.
Exactly. Yeah. We all have for structure fires. We all have automatic aid together. Where if one department catches a structure fire, the others are automatically dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
And because for a fire, you're going to need all the help you can get, whether it's this time of year or middle of summer where it's just blazing hot.
And then I remember a fire. It's been maybe 3 years or so ago. It was the house fire with the guy that had all the guitars. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That we got
sure do.
To get the guitars out?
Right.
And Daphne Police was in the parking lot of Piggly Wiggly. And they were to back you up in case there was another incident.
Yep, Daphne Fire was that we had a truck on scene there with us that was helping fight the fire, and then we had, because we had so much help and we're going to be tied up for so long, they moved another engine down at our request so that the city wasn't uncovered in case we had more incidents.
But so
absolutely, we also cover for them as well.
Great teamwork,
absolutely,
amongst you quite often.
Yes, ma'am.
When you put out a press release about a fire, you know, you always name Silver Hill or Daphne or others
we always make sure to thank anybody that's helped us. Absolutely,
we appreciate that very much. Were you involved in the controlled burn this week at the Triangle, now called the Fly Creek Nature Preserve?
We had a presence there. It was a very slow-burning fire, from what I was told. I personally was not there, but we did have a presence there in case something were to happen. But everything went absolutely perfect,
okay.
And there were no issues there.
October is Fire Prevention Month, isn't it?
It is, and we are actually in the middle of, this week we've been going to daycares, and then next week we're going to the elementary schools to teach about fire safety.
Kids just love that.
They do.
I know we talk about this every October, but I can still remember, and my kids can too, when they came home with their plastic fire hats and
that's right.
fire badges, and we're like, Mom, we need an evacuation plan.
That's right, and that's still a very important very important piece of the puzzle. Make sure they know where they're supposed to meet if something were to happen.
Right. How to get out
and where
to meet. Exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
So what should we be doing? Checking our batteries?
It's always a good idea to check your smoke detector batteries twice a year. We recommend it with a time change. All you have to do is, there should be a little test button on the detector. Press to make sure it works. If it doesn't, take it down, replace the battery. In the newer houses, they're all hardwired together. So if one goes off, they're all going to go off. So make sure you change all your detectors, not just the one you're testing.
Ah, okay. What about, you mentioned a carbon monoxide incident. What about carbon monoxide detectors? Should we have those too?
If you've got any sort of natural gas or something that would give off carbon monoxide, it's a good idea to have a detector. And then always make sure you check those batteries as well, because they will fail as well.
Okay.
But yes, it is definitely a good idea to have something if you get something that will put off carbon monoxide at the house.
Okay. So what else has been going on? Have y'all been doing some training? I see something from on Facebook about the USA campus where you were able to do a real-time scenario of training.
So last week, we'd been contacted by USA's fire marshal to help with a fire drill over here on the USA campus, and it turned into a great training opportunity for us as well to familiarize us with the building and find out some things about it. And it went off really well, and everybody got something out of it.
That's the one, the camp, St. James?
Yes, at the St. James campus.
Okay. That is, when you think, that's kind of a long, sprawled out
It
building,
is. Yes, ma'am.
And then the actual theater area, if you will, here in Fairhope, the USA campus, where part of the Fairhope Film Festival will take place. So, and your pictures on Facebook look kind of real, like they, well, was really a fire.
Well, we set up our fog machine.
I see, okay.
And it set off the. The teacher was the only one that had an idea that they were going to have a fire drill of some sort that night. She didn't have any idea when, so when we set the
oh, so there were students and it
there
was
were
a
actual
surprise.
Student,
oh,
there
wow.
was actual, yes, students there, and they participated, and everything went extremely well. We were very pleased with how it went.
Okay. Very interesting. I encourage everyone to like the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department Facebook page if you don't already, to learn things like I'm learning about the Boston Butt Fundraiser.
The Boston Butt Fundraiser, yes, ma'am. It's that time of the year again. We're selling Boston Butts for our Fallen Firefighters Foundation. It's a foundation to where if we have to help a member of the fire of our fire department with something, if they fall on hard times or need, or if a past member maybe fall or needs some help with something, but we're selling Boston Butts to raise funds for that. We're selling them through the 30th of this month. They're $40 each. And pickup date is November the 4th at Fire Station 2 on Thompson Hall Road, from 8 to noon, like it has been over the last couple of years. We have a flyer on our Facebook page with a QR code, and we do accept cash, check, Venmo. And if you're interested, want to know any of our firefighters, just contact them, and they'll be glad to get you set up.
Okay, that sounds great. The Fallen Firefighter Foundation Boston Butt Fundraiser going on now. You can order one, like you said, via the QR code, or drop by a fire station, talk
Absolutely.
To any volunteer fire department member, or the number on the Facebook post is 895-8485, 895-8485. So, I've heard several people talk about, oh, it's getting cool, let's do a fire in the fire pit. But until the past few days, it's been extremely windy. What are the rules, and does the burn ban apply to backyard fire pits? How does all that work?
So the burn ban does not apply to fire pits. But it being so windy and the weather like it was, I wouldn't have recommended burning anything at that point. But the actual burn ban from ADEM runs through the 31st of this month. It's for open burning if you get piles of leaves and limbs, green waste, that sort of thing, stuff that's legal to burn. That's what the burn ban covers. You shouldn't be burning anything that puts off any sort of black smoke. That stuff's always illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But until November 1st, we're not issuing permits for. But if you've got a little chiminea, that's not what
right.
this is about.
Right.
It might aggravate your neighbors a little bit, but there's no, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right. Okay. You posted some fun facts about the department on Facebook that I also want to encourage people to read about. How many fire stations and how many trucks? Tell us about that, because we always end this interview, in case someone new is listening, since so many new people are moving in, is a volunteer fire department still effective? And tell us about the workings.
So we are still effective and very effective. We are, like Lori said, 100% volunteer. We currently have 4 stations covering the area, with different trucks at different stations. Have 6 engines throughout the city. There's 2 rescue trucks, a ladder truck, 3 brush trucks, a little quick attack vehicle, which is a combination of a brush unit slash mini pumper. It can get into some of the tighter driveways that we have in the, especially like on the north side where it's assigned. Right. We've got, it can get into the tighter driveways that are easier than a big pumper.
You even have an airport firefighting truck. What's that?
So that's one of the big aircraft trucks, airport trucks. It's down at the airport. It helps cover that area. We've also used, back several years ago when the dump burned, it was up there for over a month while that burned itself out. So,
and a boat.
We had to cover the bay as well. Oh, it has a fire pump in case one of the bluffs catch on fire. So we're very well covered. We have orders in for a new aerial, new ladder truck from the city that was approved a couple of years ago, and that's due around the end of 2024, so probably about a year from now. And then there's a new engine approved in this year's city budget, so that will be moving forward as well.
Didn't you tell me a new fire station is in the works?
We're working on a new fire station out around the waters in the new subdivision that's being built out there across from the waters.
Was that 181 and 104?
Just north of that area, okay, yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Where all the apartments are being built.
That part, yes, ma'am.
The Close Encounters house, that area.
North of that area. So we'll have a fire station out that way. And that's in the works over the next year or so, two couple of years.
Where does your funding come from?
So we get it. The city graciously gives us a budget. We also have, like every other fire department in Baldwin County, we get a portion of the ad valorem tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do fundraisers throughout the year. Our big fundraiser is our fund drive letter that goes out somewhere in the first quarter of the month or first quarter of the years. And then just different fundraisers throughout the year.
Okay, very good. And for those that are interested in getting involved or donating, or what should they do?
So if you're interested in getting involved and you have questions, please give us a call at the 251-233-5181 number. That's the fire department's cell phone.
233-5181.
That's the easiest way to get a hold of us. Someone always has that phone with them. And then if you're interested in donating, our P.O. box is Post Office Box 626 in Fairhope. And then, or you could stop by. Most of the time, there's somebody at the fire station behind Thomas Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the easiest spot to get to drop off a donation or something like that. And if you're interested in joining, you can fill out an application. On our Facebook page, there's a link, or go to fairhopevfd.org, and there's a link there.
fairhopevfd.org. And I see you're still doing field trips and things for kids, where the Learning Tree elementary kids came for a visit.
We went out there for...
Oh, you went there.
We went there as part of our fire prevention,
okay.
And had a great time. And they made a little video of our visit. So,
aren't they cute? Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Chief. We appreciate you and your team of, 50 firefighters?
Yes, ma'am.
Now?
We're still holding at 50 right now.
Keeping us safe.
Thank you, Lori.
From the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department, Chief Chris Ellis. Thank you. If you'd like to tell a friend about this interview or listen to the rest you may have missed, it will be posted at WABF.com. 1480.com.